Some people swear there's a picture there in the haze, a pretty picture where a perfect storm had place, where light and dark always go the same way.
All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. That's a song called Love in a Time of War by Casa del Sol, a band that will be having a performance right across the street here at Broadway Studios. And they will be giving part of the money for Southern California fire relief. And if you're watching on our Twitch.tv webcam right now, you see that we have John Modell and Wally Ingram in with us from Casa del Sol. So, gentlemen, thank you for coming in.
Rick, great to be here.
Thank you for having us.
Sure. And, John, let's start with you. Let's do the sports bent.
Okay.
Your dad was Art Modell. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, he is. He's up there somewhere looking down at us right now.
And, of course, Browns to Ravens. You guys had to go through all that. Was that hard? I mean, with the Cleveland people not too happy with you?
Oh, it was really hard. It took such a toll on my dad. He was a great guy and did everything for Cleveland. He was so involved in philanthropy there and, you know, was dedicated to that city and just couldn't get the stadium deal done with the city. It was literally sinking into the lake, and we had to take that. We had to make that move. But, you know, what a lot of people don't realize is there's a team playing in Cleveland right now,
yeah.
And their name is the Cleveland Browns, I think it is, you know.
Yeah.
So the Cleveland Browns never moved. And, you know, when my dad first called me to tell me we were going to be moving, I said, well, Dad, we can't. I called him Pops.
Uh-huh.
We can't. We're not going to be the Baltimore Browns, are we? He said, no way. There's no way we could do that. He said, I'm leaving the name to the city because, if you recall at the time, the league had 31 teams and was a little unbalanced. They needed to add one more team to have the symmetry that they do now. And he was pretty confident that if he left the name, the legacy, the colors, everything to the city, that's where the league would expand when they had to do it again. And if you check the history of sports, professional sports, that's only been done one time, and that was with us. So, you know, the Browns never left Cleveland. They had a two-year hiatus while they built a new stadium on top of the old one,
mm-hmm.
And they were up and running. And I actually think they need to kind of let go of that in order to, you know, they have to embrace the Browns.
I see your Super Bowl ring there, yeah.
I wore that for you, Rick.
That's
you
know? Right. I know, it's lovely. But just not to be negative, but was there something that they were taking a name off of Performing Arts Center or something?
Well, they did, yeah. With my dad.
Lately, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's concentrate on the positive.
Yeah.
Stuff.
What are you gonna do?
Let's talk to Wally Ingram, who's with us. And you are a drummer of great repute, and you have been doing this a long time. And can you tell us maybe some of the collaborations you've had over the years?
Oh man, it goes way back. I'm a Wisconsin guy originally, and I moved here and I moved to Los Angeles in '85. But back in those days when I was at University of Wisconsin, I'm a Badger,
uh-huh.
And I'm a Packer fan going way back. Well, the Ravens have become my AFC team. And
are you okay with Cheesehead?
Yeah, I'm no.
That's why I asked.
You'll never catch me wearing a Cheesehead. I mean, I don't mind the expression, but you will. Uh-huh. I mean, yeah, I would never. The best use of one of those was I remember. There was a guy who was in a small plane and got in a plane crash, and the Cheesehead saved his life. That's probably about the best use of it.
But, wow.
So I went to school with Butch Vig from Garbage and, mm-hmm. you know, Nirvana, Nevermind, producer, and I was in one of the first bands that he produced back in those days, mm-hmm. called Sometimes Why, and we actually played here at the Rock on Broadway
yeah.
and Mabuhay Gardens in '82.
Yeah.
That band. But then I went on to play with Timbuk 3, which was also a Wisconsin-based band that mm-hmm. ended up in Austin. We had kind of a big hit called My Future's So Bright, I Gotta Wear Shades.
Right.
And from then, I kind of met the L.A. crew, Jackson Browne, mm-hmm. Bonnie Raitt, Crosby and Nash, did a lot of benefit stuff with those guys. And then Jackson introduced me to David Lindley, his longtime sidekick, and we were a duo for about 10 years.
Mm.
And somewhere in there, I was with Sheryl Crow during her whole All I Want to Do Is Have Some Fun. Mm-hmm. I was in those days.
Did you play the concert before the Stones here with the Giants when I saw Sheryl Crow?
Didn't do that one. Uh-huh. But we did, we played in Cleveland Stadium. We did the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, wow. the original one. And then we also did the Hell Freezes Over tour with the Eagles and played there as well. Yeah. So mm-hmm. we had some history there. But yeah, I played with Tracy Chapman, and then I somehow...
Crowded House.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Played with them when we were, Cheryl was opening for them, and their drummer, Paul Hester, quit.
Mm.
So Neil asked me if I would join up with them, so I did that. And then I've kind of landed in the Bay Area Grateful Dead world. So I did the Bobby Weir Phil Lesh duo tour,
mm-hmm.
and I play with David Nelson Band, you know, who played with Jerry Garcia Acoustic Band and was in New Riders of the Purple Sage. I still play with him a lot. And Bill Kreutzmann's one of my dear, dear friends. We do a lot of work together. So I'm kind of in the jam band world.
So you're just starting out and you don't know anybody. That's what you're
no, last weekend I played with 82-year-old Van Dyke Parks.
Wow.
And that was absolutely wonderful. I mean, I played a few gigs with him, but what a national treasure, international treasure that guy is.
No, that's really great. And yeah. John, I'll tell you, I think I'm the only person to go to Cleveland for spring break, which
wow.
I did.
Which so nice I, there that time of year.
Yeah, I went there in 85 when they still had the Mistake on the Lake, no uh-huh. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but I went to a Chuck Berry concert in Terminal Tower.
Oh my gosh.
How about that?
Wow.
So for you growing up, the Cardiac Kids, Sam Ratigliano, Brian Sipe, all those guys, who was your favorite Brown as a kid?
We had this great years with Bernie Kosar and mm-hmm. Terminated with the Drive and the Fumble, which were the,
oh, yeah.
before I lost my mom and dad, were the two worst days of my life. I loved a lot of guys from that, you know, that era. But,
can I guess who it's going to be? You're going to say Ozzie Newsome. No.
Oh man, you know, there's so many great guys that came through that, and you know, a lot of amazing people went on to be coaches, and you know, Ozzie was one of the best general managers in the history of the sport.
For sure.
You know, I when I was really young and looked up to these guys, I remember, you know, meeting Leroy Kelly. This is probably before your time, Rick. And Walter Johnson. These are from the '60s, mm-hmm. early '70s.
I had those football cards, and I yeah. loved Leroy Kelly, number 44.
Yes, right? Number 44. Yeah.
Very good.
And actually, I was also a Packers fan. My first, even though we were Browns, my first uniform as a kid was Bart Starr.
Okay.
And
number 12.
Me too.
You know,
15.
15.
15. Sorry. Yeah.
And that's a big connection between Wally and I before we even started playing music together. And, you know, Wally here's my best friend. We've been playing music for, I don't know, gosh,
30
years.
Years
or something like that. But our first real, and nobody on radio can see this, but this is our first real, when we really became friends, us wow. Doing the Can-Can with Ray Nitschke.
Yeah.
At the Super Bowl.
Beat the Patriots. Yep. Yeah.
Man, Super Bowl in New Orleans is pretty.
I've been to a Super Bowl in New Orleans.
And it's coming up this year.
I was hoping we'd be in New Orleans this year.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's.
Yeah. Well, I met Ray Nitschke when I was a little kid at the Beloit State Bank in Wisconsin,
wow.
like an autograph deal. And
wow.
So I've got a picture of me shaking his hand. And then when we saw him, it was a pregame NFL party. Outside the Superdome, and there was Ray, and James Brown was playing in the background. And so we're like,
wow.
And John's like, you want to go meet him? I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And somebody snapped that picture.
We were dancing with Ray Nitschke.
that was really quite a moment.
I remember in 85, I had a friend who was from Cleveland Heights, right by Shaker Heights, as you know. And She said the joke with the Browns fans was that Ernest Biner tried to kill himself, but he dropped a gun.
Oh, ouch.
That's maybe a little bit harsh.
He's a good guy. I mean, you know, these guys are under so much stress. Mm-hmm. I mean, people have been talking about Mark Andrews all week, and
that's hard.
Know,
yeah.
That was such a heartbreaking thing, and I don't know if you heard, but this is kind of cool, and I'm kind of behind the Bills now to hopefully win this. They gave money to his charity.
They're over like $40K or $60K.
Yeah, to his diabetes charity, and that's just super cool.
It's
and
really cool.
He's you know, he's an amazing guy. He doesn't drop anything, and Lamar only had, you know, 4 interceptions all year, so it was it's just, you know.
I was really pulling for him too because I wanted him to get over the whole when the playoffs happen.
Yeah.
It doesn't go right for Lamar. All right, we have another segment with the band Casa del Sol, John Modell, and Wally Ingram. More of Casa del Sol on the other side. Come on back on Sports Byline. All right, a little more there. You can hear from Casa del Sol and in studio. You can see on twitch.tv, John Modell and Wally Ingram are with us. And once again, they have a show here, Casa del Sol, right across the street at Broadway Studios on Saturday. And this will benefit the Los Angeles fire relief as well. And Wally, as a drummer, who was your guy? Were you a Bonham guy? We don't go back to Buddy Rich, probably.
Well,
but
actually, of course we go back to Buddy Rich.
For you personally?
I saw Buddy Rich was one of the early concerts I saw as a kid because he would play everywhere. I mean, he had a kind of Buddy Rich band. They'd play everywhere. My parents took me to see Stan Kenton, you know, way back when. I think Peter Erskine might have been playing with Stan Kenton, I believe. Mm-hmm. And Erskine's great. Those are like the jazz guys, yeah. But, you know, of course, John Bonham. I mean, for the rock. And Ringo is my guy. And I've been able to meet Ringo a couple times. And in the same ballpark, really the drummer I relate to probably the most, the way I play and whatnot, is Jim Keltner.
Mm-hmm. You kind of remind me of Keith Moon a little bit.
Oh, really? Okay, I'll take
physically.
That.
You've seen him on a Saturday
love
night.
Love Keith Moon, too.
But was for you just like, you know, a tom-tom and a Ludwig and a cymbal and a snare? Or was it Neil Peart with 9 million percussion?
I've landed right in the middle of that, you know? And I was definitely a Rush fan. Mm-hmm. Punk bands I was in were like, you have to stop listening to that music. You can't listen to that anymore. But I found a niche as kind of a hybrid drummer. Uh-huh. So I hand percussion because I do percussion gigs as well. But I'll split my rig up. We'll have bongos in it or have a djembe, which I play with a brush, and timbales and bells and stuff. The rig I had with David Lindley looked like it came out of a junk shop or something. Mm-hmm. I kind of like to take that approach, so I kind of combine it. But Keith Moon was interesting that a lot of people don't know that he really didn't use a hi-hat. He would just slam on crash cymbals for the most part. Uh-huh. My friend John Button is now in The Who, and he was the bass player with Sheryl Crow for a little while, but he's literally the bass player in The Who. It's pretty cool. And I think
was that John Entwistle originally, right?
Yeah, yeah, I met John a few times. Really sweet guy. But, I think Zach Starkey is a really good. He's a great drummer, and I think he's a good combination of his dad and his godfather.
Let me ask you this:
Keith Moon was his godfather.
One more drumming question, because I remember being the rhythm section with the bass topper with the Clash.
Top
they said so many times, like, you know,
Joe Strummer, whatever, they said, we would be lost. And he goes, Topper would always bring us back. And he's like, keep us. You got to kind of like be the guy, like saying, come on, guys, here, stay with me.
I love the man, The Clash. To me, that was really the perfect band of the time. And yeah, we were mentioning on break how I'm totally into reggae. Mm-hmm. I was like, I just fell head over heels in the ska, kind of the ska, edgy ska, crossover reggae stuff. And when they did Sandinista and worked with Mikey Dread, I thought that was so cool. The dub, you know, bank robber dub and that mm-hmm. kind of stuff for The Clash where they crossed over.
I love live band karaoke, and I once did a Clash night, or I was at a part of a Clash night, and I got to sing Spanish Bombs on stage.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That was so fun.
Great tune, yeah. Man. Yeah.
So, John, for you, who was your guy, like, or gal, that sort of was sort of like, that's for me?
Oh, gosh. I love... Duke Ellington said there's only two kinds of music, good music and the other kind. So there's even good polka somewhere, you know.
Sure.
But the Happy Schnapps combo from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Hendrix.
But their famous hit is The Bears Still Suck. Sorry, I just had to throw that in. Sorry about that, Bear fans.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, Hendrix, the Stones, mm-hmm. Zeppelin, got to see them when I was a kid. Wow. For my 15th birthday.
Wow.
You know, on up to Radiohead. I mean, I love so much music. The whole jazz thing, you know, Miles and mm-hmm. Coltrane and all those guys.
Do you remember your very first concert?
Yes, I do. Well, with Petula Clark at the Hollywood Palace in '67. But the first rock concert was Uriah Heep.
Wow.
It's the Maine State Fair in Bangor, Maine. Uriah Heep was the headliner. The openers were ZZ Top, Before Beards,
wow,
and Earth, Wind, and Fire. How's that for an interesting,
wow,
you know, lineup?
Wow. Do you remember a guy named Randy Hansen, the Hendrix impersonator?
Absolutely.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I saw him.
Yeah.
So when I was in, I think it was my senior year in high school, I went to the Keystone that was in Berkeley.
Oh yeah.
To see Randy Hansen, and I remember the opening band was so kick-ass. And I asked my friend, I go, "What were they called again?" And he goes, "Motley Crue." They opened for Randy Hansen.
Oh, my Lord. That's crazy.
But that happens sometimes. So let me ask you this.
Van Halen was in that category, and when they were from Pasadena, they were open for everybody, too.
Yeah, they opened for Black Sabbath, I think. And Sabbath's like, you're going past us. It's like, you had to need your own gig. But I bring that up, Wally, because I remember hearing an interview with Steven Tyler, and he said, like, they'd open for Mott the Hoople, and Mott the Hoople treated them like crap, and they wouldn't talk to them, and they say, you guys suck, you're lucky to be on stage with us. Were there anybody, because we always think, oh, everyone takes you under their wing. For either of you, we'll start with you, Wally. Was there somebody that kind of gave you the cold shoulder because they were just too cool for you?
Oh, my God. Oh, boy. I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, really. I've got to be careful in this business.
Well, you don't have to name names, but did you have prima donnas?
Oh, boy. Nothing's standing out to me
right
now.
I'll tell you, it's almost easier to remember the people who gave you...
Well, let's talk about
it. Okay, I would say this, and it was no reflection on her because she's one of my dear, dear friends. I ended up playing with her, Bonnie Raitt.
Uh-huh.
But with Timbuk3, we got a gig to open for Bonnie. And the crew, they've been on the road for I don't know how long. And then we kind of came in, like, we were a trio, so we're kind of easy. We're supposed to be easy, set up in the front. Mm-hmm. And Pat McDonald, our leader, he kind of said something like, hey, can we move this monitor? And he's like, they're like, no, you can't do it. No, no. And he said, well, what? You know, he kind of like pushed on them a little bit. Mm-hmm. Come on, why can't I? And they're like, you know what? We're out of here. That's it. Soundcheck's over. And then they head to catering. And we're like, Pat's just standing there like, all I want to do is move the monitor. But and we didn't really know Bonnie yet, too. Mm-hmm. But
well, that would have ruined Angel and Montgomery if you had moved that monitor.
Yeah, it would have. Sure. Yeah, totally.
And I was actually, I got to go to the Kennedy Center Honors. I was a guest of of the dead.
Great.
Of Billy Kreutzmann. And she was being honored. So I got to hang with her. And there's a bunch of people that were there that I played with. Keb Moe, Sheryl Crow, and Jackson, and James Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was wonderful just to be there and be part of that experience, you know.
So for you, John, growing up around so many famous athletes, and at a certain point, being starstruck is rare. It probably still happens now and then.
Oh, yeah.
But who was maybe the person that you were collaborating with where in the moment you're like, damn, I can't believe I'm playing with blank?
Well, I've been lucky to have a bunch of experiences like that. I spent a period of my career as a mastering engineer in Los Angeles working with one of the best in the business, a guy named Joe Gaspard. We mastered The Dead, Hendrix, I mean, like, you name it. And one day, we did a lot of film soundtracks, too. And so one day we were going to do the soundtrack to the Orson Welles film, A Touch of Evil, which was composed by Henry Mancini. Mm. And usually with this record company that put out mostly these film soundtracks, they'd send a producer in. The original composer would never come in. A knock on our studio door, we open up, and there's Henry Mancini himself right there. And we're like, oh, my God, Mr. Mancini is like, can't swear. But he said, oh, it's Hank, you know. We're going to have some fun, boys. And wow. He came in the studio, and, you know, a film score is made up of all these cues, and we're putting it together into a record, which meant we had to edit together a bunch of cues. And he says, let's see. And he spreads out the music score all over the console. And he's like, I think we could do this. And he's conducting me as I'm doing the edits. So wow. I'm being conducted by Henry. And it couldn't have been a nicer guy. We're talking about, you know, people who sometimes their ego or that, you know. Mm-hmm. It's great to work with a genius, like certifiable genius.
Who's, the Pink Panther himself.
The Pink Panther thing.
All about Alfie Moon River? I mean, you know, you forget about all those great. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't have been a more humble, nice guy. He's like, my wife won't let me eat deli, but we're going to get deli today. You know, that's on me, you know. So it was
that's really cool.
Neat. Yeah.
Wally, for you, you're sort of, I'm sure you get asked this a lot, but what was sort of your holy grail, like, gig? Like, was it a Carnegie Hall or Hollywood Bowl or what was it?
Well, we're talking with my wife last night about places. I've actually never played the Hollywood Bowl, mm-hmm. and so that's kind of a to-do, but I did do Radio City Music Hall a few times, I did that with Bobby and Phil, which was pretty great.
By the way, best seats of any venue, they're huge, even in the balcony, velvety and wide for big butts. Anyway, I thought I'd throw that in.
It's one of my favorite venues in the world.
It's great, but I'd say, I think Red Rocks is really one of my very favorite venues in the States, outdoor for sure, bar none, and I was on this tour where Lindley and I were part of the band with Jackson Brown, Bonnie Raitt, Sean Colvin, and Bruce Hornsby, and everyone played together, and it was it was like three and a half hour show. That was fantastic.
Is it hard when you get like everybody on stage and there are maybe two drum sets?
Well, it is. I mean, I've actually become quite good at being the sidekick drummer. And actually, Jay Lane and I are doing that quite a bit these days. You know, he's playing with Dead and Company, and we've been. I had him sub for me with David Nelson because I was playing with John Fishman at a benefit thing, and I'd never met him, but he did the gig, and then he loved it so much that he's like, "This is like a real band. I love this." So now we're double drumming more. He would come from the Sphere, he'd get on a plane after the show and show up at our gig like at, you know, the Hop Monk or something. So,
I love the Hop Monk in Nevada.
Yeah, I think I might be playing with those guys Sunday night. All my bandmates from David Nelson Band have a little side thing called the Skeleton Crew.
Yeah,
and they're playing at the Chapel. I just found out. So
good venue.
They just asked me if I want. Yeah, it's Sunday. They're like, oh, you're in town. Well, why don't you come play percussion? So.
Well, I want to, before we run out of time, I want to make sure everybody checks this out. You're going to celebrate the release of Strange Angles.
Strange Angels.
Oh, Angels.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of like our Deadheads, our Strange Angels.
The email that they sent me says Strange Angles.
Oh.
So might want to, I don't want to throw him under the bus. You might want to change it. Strange Angels, not said. Angles. This is doubling as a fundraiser for Southern California Fire Relief, where it's going to be across the street here on Broadway. The Broadway studios, Casa del Sol. And what time on Saturday?
8 p.m.
It's also tripling as it's Johnny Moe's 65th birthday.
Oh, so happy birthday.
That's a strange angle.
Yeah, that sure is.
Very good. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Great talking to you, Rick. Thanks so much.
Right. Coolest show out there.
Thank you for that. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back on Sports Byline.
harmony grows where the night grows. The heart always knows where the high road will go. Please rise.